Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com. This is a recorded interview that I did with some people. I'll read their email to me, or at least part of it. It goes, Dear Floyd, my name is Sebastian. I'm co-host with Pat Rulo on the radio show Boil the Frog Slowly, a program devoted to EMF issues, electromagnetic field issues, along with other politically driven health hazards. And that's boilthefrogradio.com. And then Pat is also a published author. She has her own show called Speak Up and Stay Alive, patientsafetyradio.com. And then she also has Speak Up Talk Radio. So they have quite a few websites. They're really good people, knowledgeable. And they wanted to interview me. So they called, and I recorded my end of the conversation. The part that I recorded sort of jumps in just at the as we're finishing the preamble and we're about to start recording the interview. And one of the things they said was, you know, are we online? Or have you got a connection? You know, I forget how they worded it, but basically what they were saying was, do you have a wired phone connection rather than a cordless phone connection? I said, yes, I do. And so I think that's what one of the references is in there, is to the idea that we're all wired connectors, and that's the kind of people we are, kind of thing. Kind of jumps into the middle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the interview and listen to it. And then whenever there's a question where you obviously have no idea what the question is, but I have some idea, I'm going to record what I think the question is, and then I'm going to patch it all together and do basically a ridiculous amount of work and create about a 40-minute interview out of this. I thought it was a pretty good interview, and it was it's my first one on this subject, so I wanted to record it. One other thing I will say is there was a large amount of construction. Where I live here, they have been working on the sewer systems. They have full-blown equipment, as much equipment as you will ever see. And they were sweeping the streets, and every time the machines back up, they make an annoying backup noise. I've tried my best to edit most of it out. It will be present when I'm talking because I can't edit that out. So I apologize for that. Please do your best. There are large chunks of this interview where there's no sounds to speak of. So try and bear with me through the noisy parts. As I say, I've edited out the pauses and various things so that it plays pretty tightly. And so if you don't like the moment, 30 seconds later, it'll all be different. In other words, we'll get past that noise and you'll be able to hear again. So I hope you will stick with it. So let's get started with the interview itself. Okay, well, I'm really flexible, so feel free to guide me or, you know, change the emphasis or whatever. Okay. They're going to do the intro, and that's where I say, well, thank you, is after they've done quite a nice intro, like a one-minute-long intro.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
Sure. So I guess Pat said that, you know, she really likes quotations herself, and she'd gone and looked. By the way, they did some good research on me, and they pulled some of the quotes from my own website. I have one of my pages where I have a lot of the quotes that I've come up with. And one of the ones, the first one she liked and commented about was the one where I say, you can lead a person to philosophy, but you can't make them think. Based on the old, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So that was the origin of that question, was her sort of saying, you know, you came up with this quote. What are your thoughts today about that quote?
Today, yeah. Well, that quote was from some time back, so I'll have to update myself on that one to think, where am I today? But yes, fundamentally, it hasn't changed, right? The truth doesn't change. That's the frustration when you try and share something with someone else. You know, you're really trying to do them a favor. It doesn't matter what it's about. And it's understandable when a two-year-old cries when you try and help them not eat a candy bar and eat a carrot instead. But when grown-ups are like that, that's a whole new level of challenge. And, you know, it's probably always been that way, but that's our challenge. Whether, you know, like you say, whether it's GMOs, vaccines, fluoridation, microwave, radiation, it's all the same. The big message is a lie, and so the smaller message is the truth, and there we are. We're trying to distribute the truth in a small way from the ground up, and a lot of horses have been led, but there's still plenty of water to be drunk.
All right, then she read another quote, and then wanted, again, my thoughts on that second quote. I forget what the quote is.
Yeah, that feels more current, and I really believe that. And I guess the nice thing is, as you start to get a better understanding, is you start to see the whole picture, and you're able to put things in perspective. So, for example, my perspective changed in the last couple of years. Once I found out about microwave radiation, prior to that, I always felt the biggest threat was fluoridation. That was the biggest assault on the individual. And now I think they found something better. And I think, honestly, they're really happy. And I think it's going to produce some very dramatic, massive results like we have never seen on the face of this earth before. I am a true pessimist when it comes to microwave radiation. A true conspiracist. Why is that? I guess it's from having experienced it personally. I guess it's from being blindsided by it. Until 2 years ago, I didn't even know about it. Someone, just a chance, mention on a forum on the internet, mentioned the documentary that you guys also talk about, Resonance Beings of Frequency. And just by a fluke, I went there and watched it. And then I was like, whoa. It got my attention. I thought I need to buy a meter so I can do measurements. I buy a meter. And then I realized the problem is right at home. And I had been dying. I was literally dying in my own home. I couldn't sleep, couldn't dream, I couldn't rebuild. I'd wake up and I'd feel like an 80-year-old person. You count on your morning cup of coffee and then you still feel bad. And I just went, well, that's my lot in life, and that's what everyone is doing. No matter what they have got, no matter where they got it given to them, people just tend to accept it. And sometimes you need a prod, or sometimes you need a lucky fluke. I feel I was extremely lucky that someone, some anonymous person online, just mentioned Resonance Beings of Frequency. And so, even though I have my own videos on microwave radiation, I still mention that documentary. It's sort of close to my heart because that's what reached me.
So at the 3-minute, 20-second mark, Pat asks me, so how do you reach people?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, you know. We're so much against the tides on this one, it's not funny. I mean, one of the things I offer to do is I offer to just provide measurements for people. I just take my meter to their house and just start measuring their house. And with one family, they had children. Turned out their house was aluminum siding. And they were very near where I live here, so they were very near this large building that had many masts on top of it. They were really being hit. Well, the aluminum siding was protecting their house, but in their picture window, their living room window, it was just regular glass. And when you drew an arrow from the source of the radiation through the window, it went right to where the kids played every day. They were getting radiated right where they hung out most of the time. And you could show it with the meter. And believe me, this couple, this family acted very fast. They got the aluminum mesh, they shielded the front of their house, it's a rental. I went back later and I was like, yeah, you guys are good. Well, they realized they can't even play in the yard. The kids can't even play in the yard. And so they moved. So you can get quick results, I think, you know, person to person with a meter. I don't charge for it, and people know that. But, like, still, it's like the documentary. I've talked to many people in this neighborhood, and you get no results. Right, a good question. I think what had happened earlier was I distributed flyers in the area. We did 50 of those, 50 houses. So it told our story in about one page, and, you know, the meter readings and everything else. And I had my phone number, and I said, hey, I'm willing to come over to your house and show you, you know, what's going on. So they were warmed up by that. And actually what had happened was the guy who works locally here, he showed up on my front porch here one day and was like, hey, yeah, about that flyer you handed out. So that's what started it. That's what got them receptive to me when I went over there. The other thing I would add is this family was a very has a high moral ground. That, you know, they're trying very hard, they're very sincere. They also had, for example, they were starting to take magnesium, sort of a pure magnesium product, and you spray it and it goes onto your skin and you can absorb it through your skin. We just don't get enough magnesium, even in our multivitamins, etc. And so I started doing that as well, just based on me meeting them. So I guess what it was in their case was they were a more receptive family, and you need that. You're not going to reach everybody, sadly. You're not going to reach everybody.
I think the question here was shielding, maybe what kind of shielding? How did you decide on your shielding? How did you decide on your methods?
Yeah, what started me on that, by the way, is when you go to these EMF shops and whatnot online, you realize the materials are all prohibitively expensive. And so I just literally went to Google and asked Google, what is the cheapest shielding? And that's when the mosquito netting hits came up. So basically, mosquito netting is aluminum wire, a mesh as we call it, but it's aluminum wires. And they're spaced maybe a millimeter apart, or let's call it a 16th of an inch apart. They're spaced really close together. And it turns out that corresponds with the frequency of microwave radiation. It corresponds with the frequency of Wi-Fi. And so it's effectively like it's aluminum foil, or it's effectively like a wall of metal. Well, the nice thing is you can see through it. The nice thing is when you put it on your windows, people are like, yeah, you got mosquito netting on your windows, that's no big deal. Well, that's how I started using it. So I shielded our windows, just, you know, it just shows how stupid I was. I shielded the windows on two sides here and thought, that should be about it. And it was an improvement. We had a bad case here. Our levels were 600 to 1,000 times higher than recommended. If you go just three blocks further away from the towers than we are, I've measured other people's homes, and they have like vanishingly small numbers. These towers are selectively nuking us when we live really close, let's say within two or three blocks of a tower. And of course, sometimes you don't know where the towers are. They're in the chimney of a church, for example. But anyway, so I did a progressive process of shielding in this home. I got very, very serious about it. It became sort of a point of pride, and it's safe to say I put my maximum effort into it. And so I started recording with my meter using masking tape and putting little notes down, and I read the exact reading and even like how many foot off the ground was I reading it from and everything else. And I was generally looking for the highest readings in a given spot, because obviously that's, you know, the worst case scenario. And then I would do more shielding, and then I would come back and I would measure and record those notes. And then I would do more shielding, and I repeated that process. Well, I got to the point where I had done the two walls, the two vertical walls of this outside of this home, except for the chimney area, and I still wasn't done yet. It was still 200 times higher than healthy. And that's when, you know, it just really starts to get to you, and you're just like, hey, you know, I told you to leave. And so then I realized, you know, you start sort of drawing an imaginary line, because this stuff, you know, goes in a straight line, and we are lower than the cell phone towers. And so it was coming down through the roof, through the ceiling. And so then I shielded the entire attic of this home. So this is laying down the mesh in the attic. And you know, all of this might sound like a big investment. Well, my total investment, counting everything, is about $1,000. Yeah, I went to Lowe's, I went to a hardware store, and you can just buy a 4 foot wide sheet of it, 25 feet long, for like, I forget the price, but maybe $25 or something like that. And I think I bought probably 20 of those eventually. Yeah, aluminum netting. Now you gotta watch out, some of it is plastic. Looks the same. It is exactly like that. And there's two kinds at Lowe's anyway. There was what looks like aluminum, looks like a dull metal look, and then there's carbon coated. So it's like a black mesh. So you can sort of suit the one, like for example, we have white walls outside, so I use the aluminum colored, the white colored mesh for that. And then I also bought black simply because I ran out. I drained their supply, so I bought the black.
The question might have been, do you have to, some method of asking about how do you cover? How do you cover an area?
Yes, exactly like that. And only you have to overlap. So you overlap the posts, you overlap everything. You trust nothing. Rocks, meaningless to this. It goes right through. Eventually I had to shield the chimney. And if I had shielded the chimney on the outside, it would have looked really bizarre. And so I shielded it on the inside. I made up a little rig. And I'm looking right now inside my living room at this mesh over the chimney. And so we have a shielded chimney on the inside of our house.
I think they asked, did you need to ground the mesh?
No, that made no difference in my readings. And, you know, different people give different advice. It made no difference. I think with RF or the different frequency, the power line, if you're trying to mask power line influences, I think you might have to ground. But I do not believe that you need to do it with microwaves, with Wi-Fi.
1018 mark. I think they were asking questions, what about RF radiation, or what about radiation from a power line compared to the microwave radiation?
Okay, well, as it happens, we've got like the 12,000 volt line right outside of our house. And it's, you know, the poles are right on the edge of our property. So we are close to that. But what I notice is that ever since we shielded just the microwave radiation, it completely changed our lives. So for me personally, this is just my intuition on it. I think it's a lesser problem. I'm not saying it's no problem. And some people are very sensitive. And for example, I had a friend when we first started with computers, and we'd buy floppy disks at that time. If he handled those disks, half of them would die. You know, he's probably the kind of guy that if he wore a watch, he'd break the watch. Like, some people are just electrically different than others. And so for me personally, I guess I have a lack of experience. And my meter also doesn't measure those frequencies. It's only for the microwave radiation.
I think they were asking, can you make things worse? If you start putting mesh up, can you make things worse? You know, it's the old problem, perennial problem of you get an amateur trying to fix a problem, right?
That's very true. You can make it worse. Maybe think of it like you're trying to keep wild bulls, wild steers out of your property. And if you fence part of your property, you could end up, the steers could, you know, be trapped inside your property, or some analogy like that. You got to be careful. You got to give it an out if it's still getting in.
I think this was another question to do with RF and RF effects. what do you do if you have dirty power in your house kind of thing? How do you shield it, and then how do you live and yet have it shielded at the same time?
Well, the thing is, you can measure local, you know, you can get right down to that plug and measure that. And so, you know, you can make a sort of a command decision, and you can make an exception, or you can come up with a sort of a plan B of how you could deal with it. Here's an example. Let's say it was still a problem of noise from the outlet, but you wanted to plug into it. You could build a shield. Say you have a desk in front of it. You could shield the back of the desk so that you could still plug wires in behind the desk, but the desk would be acting as a shield between the plug and you.
This was a question about shielding or a total barrier to radiation versus dissipating or getting rid of the radiation, absorbing it or doing something with it.
Yes, it can. There are materials that, like metal will let it bounce. There are materials that are designed to absorb it, and that's probably why, you know, some of these materials cost more money. They're designed to actually absorb it, turn it into, I think, basically heat.
I think this might have been a question like, so how does the mosquito netting, the mesh work? Does it absorb it?
No, it just stops it. It's like a wall, a true wall.
I think the next question might have been how do professionals deal with this? How do they professionally shield a home?
I think in new construction, you can get materials that have already got some foil of some kind on them. And I think that's what some people are doing is when they renovate or when they buy a home or when they build a home, they shield the drywall or whatever. And so everything is all shielded in the first place, which is like the
question, I believe, was sort of comparing foil, aluminum foil versus mesh.
Well, the nice thing is with that is you can see through it. You know, that's sort of a not to be ignored factor. Also, I think it's stronger. It is wire. It's like, you know, the foil can crinkle, and we have some foil in our bedroom. It's sort of historic at this point, but we have some on the window in the bedroom. And sometimes, I guess this is a 90-year-old house, sometimes wind gets in there and you hear the foil kind of crinkling in the wind. So,
is all the shielding outside the house? Is there any shielding inside the house?
When it came to the fireplace, because I didn't want to sort of put something on the outside that would make us the laughing stock. We're almost the laughing stock of the neighborhood, but I didn't want to be completely the laughing stock. Yes, everywhere else. And of course, this is, you know, people notice this. You see people stopping and staring and looking at it. We left up a notice on the one of the power poles near our house to explain what we did. And that was up for like 3 or 4 months. And then eventually someone from the building where all this radiation is coming from, someone from there obviously got mad and they tore it down.
How do you deal with people when you have opposition or something like that?
Yeah, you know, I'm just the type to be head-on about this. Like, when I told neighbors, they were like, well, we got to go to the home and we got to... And I tried going to the home. Exactly nothing happened. And then I was like, it's time for plan B. And I didn't fool around. It was done as fast as I could do it.
Great question from Pat, asking, what if you shielded, you know, your entire property? What if you put a fence of shielding around your property?
You know, I had that exact thought, Pat. My thought was to put poles on the perimeter of the property, because I want my, you know, when I'm outside in the grass, I want that shielded too, right? I'm greedy that way. And so you have these poles that maybe are 15 feet high, and then you run the mesh on them. And by the way, you would use the least mesh that way. And so it's cheap, fast, and a complete solution, and totally would freak out everybody.
This was a question from Sebastian asking, what about chicken wire? I didn't, you know, get the full background to the question, but maybe he already has chicken wire, or will chicken wire do the job, or maybe chicken wire is useful for some other types of shielding, and so therefore can it do double duty?
Well, chicken wire is largely porous. It's largely not there, if you will. It's like a giant honeycomb. Let's say the gap between each piece of wire is, say, almost an inch. So you're not going to shield with that wire, but what you could do is that wire could be the carrier for your mosquito netting. And then it would give strength to the mosquito netting. It would be stronger than the netting. I totally agree.
I think there was a question or a point about, you know, threats from the air.
I am, and like I've actually shielded almost the entirety of the attic already, so I'm maybe ahead of the game there. But yes, I honestly think the reason they're going to go to the sky is so that they can dose us all evenly, so that we're all the same distance from the source. Right now, it's a factor of a million. The people that are like within a block of the source are a million times more dosed than the people a mile or two away. It's a huge, huge difference. They know that, And they know that that leaves them vulnerable. We can point the finger and go, look at this curve of the illnesses and how close you are to the source. So if they change the source so that we're all the same distance from it, we're all on the ground, it's in the air, they're happy with that. So yes, I would encourage anyone who's going to the trouble of doing this, shield your attic. I mean, no one, who uses the attic? I did much of mine on the actual inner roof of the attic. And only in a few places was it more practical to do it on the sort of the flat part of the attic. And so if I was using my attic for storage, I would still have access to that storage.
So this was a question about planes that fly around and they broadcast microwave radiation, cell phone radiation from the plane. You'll hear them as small planes flying too frequently close over the house.
Well, I mean, you're quite right. They do have these sort of fake cell towers. I want to say the operation is called Stingray. I may be wrong on that, but okay. So yes, they're doing this. You know, it's fine that the excuse is to catch the bad guys or whatever, to dupe them. But yeah, when they start irradiating us all because of this, that's not cool. And you're right, it's another good reason to shield the roof of your house. Absolutely.
I think this next question might have been about wireless keyboards and wireless mice and how they can monitor your wireless keyboard communicating with your computer. And I've known about this for decades, and that's why, even before the microwave radiation problem, I already switched all of our components to cabled connections. The other thing is, the wireless connections, wireless equipment is just totally flaky. I got sick and tired of network connections dropping whenever they felt like it and being the wrong speed and can't find this device and ding dong, the sound it makes when it loses a connection and makes a connection with a device. I just couldn't stand any of that. I'm just not that type of person. So you don't want wireless connections from your devices to your computer.
It's a great reason to not use wireless inside your house for, you know, your cordless keyboard or whatever. And I gave up on those things decades ago because of the security issues. So, you know, it just shows that that convenience comes at a massive cost. Right.
1626 Mark asking, how much of the house did you shield?
We've done it only on two sides because that was where the cannons were firing from. So, as it happened, I don't think we had a single, I'm just sort of looking around, we never had a single window that we opened anyway on those two sides. But yes, that would be a consequence. And I think that people need to realize, and this is in the category of lifestyle change, you may have to move. That may absolutely be the very best thing you can do. In our case here, we're sort of limited finances, and so that wasn't really an option. We have a sort of a better than average, you know, deal because the landlord is related, and so it's not economically feasible for us to move. But honestly, I really did consider it. And if anyone has the economic means to move away from being too close to a source, I would absolutely encourage it. Yeah. Amazing. That's right. It is complicated, and what I would say to people is that, you know, with something like fluoridation or fluoride toothpaste, if you cut out fluoride toothpaste, it's a pure net gain. It's very simple. If you stop drinking fluoridated water, it's a pure net gain, simple. This is very sophisticated, very, very complicated, and yet, if all you have to do is buy an acoustimeter or equivalently good quality meter, and now you can start measuring for yourself, and as soon as you start measuring and realizing, think of it like, you know, you're being shot at. And when the readings are high, they're shooting a lot of bullets. And now you can systematically start working on that problem. In the case of RF, it is different again. And you need, you know, more of the electrical contractor type mindset. You know, you need a professional to come in and provide more grounds, I'm sure. And shielding and grounds, probably.
I think this was a question about the cell phone towers near the schools or the effect of microwave radiation on our kids, on schools.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've seen it. I watched a video, it was in Canada, and a guy was appearing before a school board, and it was quite a long, good video, and, you know, you just realize the level of corruption is truly everywhere. How do you control people? You make sure they're so dirt poor that they're desperate, and then you offer them a bit of money if. And so, you know, the problem with putting towers up near schools is, I bet you the school gets a kickback. And so then, it's like this is a retirement home near where I live here, and they have probably three or four times as many cell phone towers on top of their building as normal. And I bet you they make a lot of money. You know, someone's getting rich and living in, you know, Hawaii because of it, and so they're not going to change. And that's why you have to have a very, I think, a more defensive mindset where you have to protect yourself. No one around you is going to change. You have to change. Absolutely right.
I think it was to do with the microwave oven, and probably, you know, asking me, so you eventually got rid of your microwave oven, because, you know, I had two videos, and in one of them I said you could keep it, and the other one I got rid of it.
Right, and my reasoning there was, at first I was thinking, well, we won't use it as much, and when we would, for a while there, we would start the microwave, and we'd yell out to everyone else in the household, fire in the hole, and then we would leave the room and go to another room. And I was in the living room right next to the kitchen, and I would measured, and everything was, you know, quite good, or, you know, even in hindsight it probably wasn't quite good, but it was okay. Well, I was right behind a refrigerator. We have a refrigerator in our living room as well, and I was right behind it, so I was getting like an unfair amount of shielding from it. And then just after a while, it just niggles you, and you just realize, why do you have any of this stuff in your house? And microwave oven, I think it can kill you. If a technician opens up a microwave oven to work on it and they turn it on while it's opened up, they will die. It will flat out kill them, and it's happened. So yes, a microwave oven is shielded. It's made out of metal. It's got shielded glass in the front. And still, when you put a meter up to it, it is horrifying how high the radiation is coming off of it. And it shows that some of that radiation cannot be shielded. And at first I considered shielding the wall between me and the microwave in the kitchen and everything. And then I was just like, hey, we got to get rid of this thing. Right. And like I say in the second one, I believe, I say, you know, if microwave popcorn is your only reason for keeping a microwave oven, you have no reason to keep one. Change your diet, change your lifestyle, and be done with it.
Important question, probably asking, what sort of symptoms do I have or does my wife have from the effect of high microwave radiation?
The biggest symptom, both my wife and I, we now sleep immeasurably better. Neither of us slept deeply before. Whenever either of us got up to, you know, use the bathroom in the middle of the night, we always woke up the other person. I would get like 4 hours sleep a night, sometimes even less, and get up and just feel just horrible. My eyes bother me and everything. Also, if I may speak for my wife, her breathing has changed and deepened. When I first met her, she was in this home, and she had been living under this, you know, attack, and she had very shallow breathing. And now, she saws logs when she sleeps. She is a... You can't fake it when you're sleeping. And her body is telling me every night that she is sleeping way better. And when you sleep way better, you feel way better in the morning, you have more energy, you rebuild, etc.
So is the government doing something? Does the government care? What does the government have to say about all this radiation?
No, not at all. Really the opposite. One of the interesting things is in the U.S. they have a requirement, a standard about how heavy the radiation can be when people are around. We'll just say the number 10,000 is the number that it has to be under that level. Well, it's not being enforced. I think there's been a total of one case ever where someone was able to push through the court system and get a cell phone company to actually fix the problem. It's literally impossible to fix the problem, even when you tell the FCC. And they have a nice little complaint line, and you can complain, and absolutely nothing will happen.
It might have been a question like, the U.S. and microwave radiation, you know, what's going on? Are we backwards? And of course we are.
It mirrors the situation with fluoridation. The United States is, I think, one of the largest, if not the largest country in the world that's fluoridated. Two-thirds of Americans are fluoridated. And any kind of an investigation of the toxicity of fluoride, and you realize this shouldn't be happening. This is ludicrous. This makes no sense whatsoever on any level. And yet, again, someone's making some money off of this. Some aluminum manufacturers and fertilizer manufacturers, they have a waste product that they used to have to pay to get rid of it, and now they can add it to the water supply, that waste product, and we drink that waste product, and everybody's happy, apparently. Right. And, of course, dentists, I did some research on that. The average dentist takes between 0 and 1 courses in chemistry. Apologize for the noise in the background, by the way. They're working on the sewer lines. They've been there for several months. Anyway, how can a dentist possibly be dispensing chemicals and profess to be knowledgeable about it when they take a grand total of 1 chemistry course ever? The weak people, they just sort of, they're guided by each other, right? They all blow together. They all sway together. And everyone is guided by everybody else when it comes to fluoridation, which is to say, you know, there's just no wisdom there. They're all lying together. They're all selling out together.
I think she was asking, can you give a history of fluoride? Where do you start? When do you start?
The first use of fluoride that was like a super important use of it was in World War II, where they wanted to separate uranium. There's two types of uranium, the atom, and one of them was radioactive and useful to them to make bombs, and one of them wasn't useful. And so it turns out that separating them is very difficult. Their mass is only different by about 1%. And they converted the uranium to uranium hexafluoride by bonding 6 fluorides to it. and then it turned it into a gas. And then they created these giant tunnels, diffusion tunnels, and they sent the gas, you know, sort of very slowly down the tunnel, and gradually the heavier one would sink and the lighter one would rise. And so it was one of the processes in the war to separate and to get their bomb-grade uranium. Well, even at that time, the health effects, the workers, their teeth were turning to black stumps. It was unbelievable. And even just managing and handling this product, it was so toxic and so corrosive. This is where Teflon and Teflon coating and Teflon methods evolved, was just even to handle it. Well, I don't know when the light bulb went off for somebody, but, you know, Michigan, I think in the 50s, was the first city where they started fluoridating the water. But that was really, again, just to deal with a toxic waste product and, you know, lie to the public and then say it's good for you. And it's been going like that really ever since, almost without change. They used to have to pay, I think it was $2,000 a ton, to dispose of the toxic fluoride, which is a byproduct of when you create aluminum in a smelter, you release a lot more fluoride than you do aluminum. And so you have a massive waste product. And it's the same with fertilizers. And so it's a double whammy. Big companies get rich while they pollute the landscape, kill the cows with the fluoride rain, and then they add it to our water supply so that we all get this toxic effect. And again, as my background as a chemical engineer, you know which chemicals are toxic, and you know their properties. And fluoride is the most reactive element there is in the entire periodic table. When you drink something with fluoride, free fluoride in it, it's going to do whatever it wants in your body. You cannot possibly say, please only go to my teeth. And so the scale of this lie was something that caused me to get into this field 30 years ago. And
it might have been some question about fluoride, or why is fluoride bad, or a little bit more on fluorine.
Well, when something is super reactive, it's literally that process of being able to do whatever it wants that's bad. It can change any part of your body. When it chemically reacts with anything in your body, whether it's bones, tissue, your eyes, your brain, anything, it will now change those cells. So I would imagine it can lead to cancers.
I think it might have been a question like biological effects of fluorine.
I'm not a biologist, and so I don't know the sort of the full ramifications, but it's toxic. It's a poison. It's a killer. And so you're drinking a killer.
Question about fluoride. Why is fluoride so bad?
The fundamental problem with fluoride is that the size of the atom, it's the same size as a water molecule. So when you drink it, it can go wherever water can go in your body. Similarly, the way your body excretes toxins through the urine process is it uses a filter. It uses a mesh. And so the fluoride is the same size as water. So the mesh is designed for things bigger than water. The water passes through, you keep that. The bad things don't pass through, you excrete those. Well, then the fluoride passes through the filter. And so what happens is your body excretes about the same amount of fluoride, half, as it excretes water, about half. And so half of it accumulates.
Do I know Paul Connett?
Yeah, he's a very well-known person, perhaps the most well-known person on the face of the earth to do with the fluoridation problem, yes. By the way, I'd like to compliment you, Pat. I did listen to one of your shows of your own radio show. I just think you're really professional and knowledgeable. Both of you come across that way. It can sound like I'm just saying this because it's good for both of us, but I really sincerely mean it. I think you guys know what you're talking about. I think you know your subjects. And, you know, for me personally, honesty is everything. This is a battle of honesty versus dishonesty. And it's a battle of information versus disinformation. And so it behooves all of us to know our subject and to be honest and hang the consequences. If it changes who you hang out with, I have no problem with that. I really don't. Yeah. And you know, if you climb a mountain and you're at the top, there's not a lot of people at the top of the mountain because it takes work. But they don't have the view.
I think they might have been saying something nice like, we enjoy hanging out with you.
Thank you. This is just, I really feel bad for people that they don't have a meter in front of them. I turn mine on, even in my own home periodically, just to go like, has something new started?
When I mentioned about turning on my meter in my home periodically, just to make sure everything was still okay, Pat immediately said, I do the same thing. You gotta have a meter. If you want to sleep at night, in more ways than one, you gotta have a meter. What's happening in the area, or how do businesses deal with this?
Absolutely. I went to the bank that we bank at, and I knew there was a big tower out just a block away. And I was like, okay, let's measure in this bank. And honestly, I was expecting what was the case. They are shielded. Inside that building, it was such a low level, it was like not even a problem. I went to a health food store nearby. Exactly the same situation. Big tower across the street. I go inside, healthy readings. Readings at the level of our home here after I've shielded.
I think they might be asking, like, how are they doing this? How are they getting such low readings?
You know, it depends how things are configured, but I would say that they've shielded and they have, in fact, probably energy absorbing, radiation absorbing paint. And so they're deliberately damping down the signal because cell phones can operate at a level about a million times less than what we're being bombarded with. So you can absorb 99% of what's around and your phone will still work.
General comment or point that shielding works.
If only people knew, and it's not that expensive. I mean, for example, let's say you have a wall, and that's, you know, one of the walls that's, you know, dosing your whole house. There's nothing stopping you from buying building material that has that foil backing, or putting a foil backing on. Stick it up, another layer on top of your wall, fill it in, paint it over, you get all the benefits.
What is the effect when you have multiple threats hitting you at once?
That's a good question. Everyone, again, should be thinking about that. It all works negatively. It all multiplies. I mean, just for me personally, just with microwaves, that was enough that I knew I was dying. I was literally dying. I was heading towards illness and disease. Fluoride by itself can do the same thing. Thyroid conditions are caused by fluoridation, for example. Your body needs iodine to regulate the thyroid, and then the fluoride preferentially reacts instead of the iodine, bottom line, thyroid problems. So imagine the two together. And of course, I mean, there's other ones, right? There's mercury fillings and mercury in vaccines still, even though they continue to lie about it, it's still in vaccines. There's aluminum that people consume, aluminum, there's cookware, right? Aluminum cookware still. It all works together negatively, and this is up to the individual to use their common sense and go, hey, I sort of don't want to know exactly how it's hurting me. I just want to start getting rid of these threats one after another. That's my attitude anyway.
And of course, there are drugs that are fluoridated drugs. The active ingredient of the drug is a fluorine atom or compound, and that's how they work. So they have to work negatively. A toxin is the active ingredient of the drug. It's exactly like the botulinum toxin, the Botox. That works on your relaxing your muscles and making your face look pretty by killing part of your body. That's how it works. Well, fluoride active drugs do exactly the same thing.
Right. I mean, drugs in themselves. By the way, if I can just do a shout out to naturalnews.com. It's a great site. He covers all these subjects really well. And drugs themselves. If anyone is taking any medication, go and research. Because there's a good probability that your medication doesn't actually work and they've been lying all along. But even if it is working in quotes, it's working negatively in my books. When you start taking other poisons and toxins, how can this stuff possibly work together?
Sebastian asked me about chemtrails. What did I think of it?
You know, chemtrails, I don't think that's any of that's true. But I don't have any information. I've never really researched. You know, I should come at it in reverse. This is part of when you get a bigger picture. You say, well, what would they gain from it and how effective would it be for them? Like if I'm trying to hide, if I want to spray, mass medicate the population and put something really insidious out there, it could be a great way to do it. Just mix it in with the jet fuel or whatever and everyone gets dosed evenly.
Right. I think I will.
As soon as you start to realize that the people in control of us have too many people on the planet from their point of view, as soon as you realize that, then you can draw a straight line through all of these various things. They all do the same thing. They shorten our lives. They're going to depopulate us. And there's many different ways they can do it, and I think they're using most of them.
I think it might have been, you know, mentioning something to me that I just simply didn't know about, or and not so much that I didn't know about it, but it was probably something where the media or the government itself reveals, you know, the real state of affairs. Once in a while, they make a mistake and tell the truth.
I hadn't heard about that, and I will check into that. It's good to get those kind of little bits of honesty that leak through. They're useful.
They gave me a chance to just sort of, you know, promote myself and say a bit about my website and whatnot, so that's where I started talking about the Just Think It with the hyphens.
Well, it's justthinkit.com with hyphens between the words. I came up with the name based on the Nike slogan, the famous slogan, Just Do It. And I thought, you know, just think it. This is an age where we have to think differently. And this is, you know, we have to think for ourselves. So that was the origin of it. It's been going about 20 years. Like you say, my father was a quotes person. I always loved them. And then I just realized I like the idea of dispensing thoughts or dispensing wisdom, and I also think it's important that we should look at quotes daily. And so I publish daily, and I publish a lot daily, 45 a week. And I just think we need to be reminded frequently. I try and have original quotes, so it's not sort of like a nagging message. But yeah, I just think it's a bit of a tonic, and I guess 6,000 others do as well. Sounds good.
I think it's like my final closing thoughts.
You know, we got to make life a mission. We got to realize that it's up to us. We're on the front lines, whoever we are. And your life will become meaningful and it'll become good if you take an honest approach and just you stand up to things. Thank you.
Bye-bye.